Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, I want to welcome Dean McMurray. He is a 24-year Army veteran working as a spiritual medium. He contacts departed loved ones, angels, and spirit guides by connecting the earth plane and the spiritual realm. As a clairvoyant, he receives visions of people, places, and things of the past, present, and future. His clairsentient gift means he can also receive psychic senses, including smell, taste, and touch. And as an empath, he takes on the sensations of the physical and emotional states of being. Dean, welcome. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for joining us. I've been looking forward to this. You are probably, I think, the only second or third psychic I've ever had on. And I love learning about these extraordinary abilities that people like yourself have and how they work. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how you discovered them, how they work for you, as well as how talking and communicating with the spirit world works. And then we'll take a few calls and do some readings for some folks, if that sounds all right with you.
No, that sounds perfect.
All right. Awesome. Well, let's start with this. Where did this all start for you?
Well, that seems like so long ago and such a complicated story, or sometimes just a convoluted story, but it really goes back about 9-10 years ago, Chris. And, you know, and kind of like you shared with your listeners, I was a 24-year Army veteran, and I was in my last 3 years in military service. I had just returned from my very last deployment. A lot of things were ending for me, but a lot of things were beginning as well. My son was just born. A lot of things were starting. But what I want to share is around that time, then that's when my awakening, what I call my awakening, happened. And it really started for me with a lot of paranormal activity in my home. And what I mean by that is, more specifically, where clocks and pictures started flying off the wall. And for a guy that's very, at that time, very analytical, like I needed to know why the picture was coming off. So I would look at the drywall anchor, or if there was one, you know, is the nail in the stud, you know, those kind of things. And trying to put logic to it, because quite honestly, again, I wasn't a believer in all things metaphysical or energy related. And, my wife, who kind of confided in me when we were overseas, that she had been consulting psychics and other folks and energy workers. And I just kind of blew it off. Was like, that's your thing, whatever. And I started jokingly referring to some of those ladies as the voodoo chicks, the quote unquote voodoo chicks. And so I was kind of poking fun at it. And so when I came back and all this paranormal activity, you know, my first words to my wife were, get a hold of voodoo chick, get her over here. They need, you know, I didn't know what they had to do. Do they chant? Do they throw chicken blood around? I didn't know. But the thing that I knew as a guy and as a dad that I wanted to protect my family was, number one, it was easier for me to face down an enemy insurgent that wanted to blow up something versus how do you wrestle with a ghost, like, how, you know, spirits or things that, you know, you are not tangible in a sense. And so that part kind of freaked me out, because I was like, now we're dealing with something that's mind-boggling. And so, you know, bottom line, I just wanted it gone. And she wasn't there to do that day. She really was bringing forward messages from my grandfather, who passed probably when I was, probably 8 or 9. And I wasn't open to hearing messages from my grandpa, because I was very resistant. I was very, not only kind of sarcastic, but very skeptical. And I was like, oh, come on. And, basically I was like, you know, when are we going to pay this lady to leave? And all this. And, you know, she eventually did leave. She delivered the message, and she left, and she said, you'll figure it out. And obviously I have. But the thing was, is it never stopped, Chris. It never quieted down when she left. And about 2 weeks after her visit, my grandmother, his wife, my grandfather's wife, showed up, and she passed when I was probably 12. And she was there to kind of put the kibosh to everything, saying, darn it, it's time to start step into your abilities and quit messing around, or in Dean's words, quit screwing around, step into your damn abilities and quit resisting this. And basically, you know, I was washing bottles at midnight, and I just knew that it was my grandmother, and it was mind-boggling to me. How do I know it's grandma? That was, you know, like all of a sudden you have a knowing that washes over you, that clear cognizance, right? And you knew, or I knew at that point, that there was no question that it was my grandmother. And I'm quite literally out loud at midnight arguing with myself at the sink going, how do I know it's grandma? I just know it's grandma. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to end up in a funny farm. I really thought that I'm going to be on meds. And so I thought, you know what, let's just go to bed. Let's just put it behind us. I'm tired. And I think it's normal for a lot of people, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that somebody is there in spirit, I think there's an aspect, or I feel that there's an aspect of us that just wants to connect. We want the connection. And that's what I did. I started going, hey, grandma, you know, and it's like, how are you? You know, like, I love you. I haven't seen you in, good Lord, you know, I was in my early 40s. So do the math, right? Like 38 or so years. And, but it was, hey, if you're really here, why don't you just prove it? That was what my ego was saying, you know what, Dean, if she's really here, why can't she prove it? And as soon as I thought those thoughts, immediately the room turned absolutely frigid, like you would walk out in here in North Dakota in the middle of February, right? And I was like, holy crap. I felt the temperature immediately change. It wasn't gradual. It was immediate. And so, of course, that had my attention. And then, of course, that wasn't enough for me because I obviously needed more. And my ego spoke up again and saying, you know what? That, you know, and I put a lot of logic to it saying, you know what? That's off-peak power. The wife has the window cracked. Somebody has a fan on, all this stuff. And saying, why don't you touch me? If you're really here, that would prove to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're really here. And so grandma wasn't there to disappoint that evening. And I'd still describe it like it was yesterday. It was a gentle yet firm pressure that started at the top of my head, went to the bottom of my feet. And it quite literally, Chris, pushed me into the mattress. And I was laying there on my side when this happened, and I could physically hear the springs compress, and I could feel the mattress, you know, or myself sinking into the mattress. And it was more than normal compression or things of that nature, because I was also, there was part of my mind going, what's going on and why do I feel heavier? And is it because I'm relaxing? And, you know, I'm trying to debunk it. But I knew that there was this energy or entity or somebody or something pushing me down. And it wasn't mean. It wasn't evil. It wasn't choking me. I wasn't in a paralysis. And as soon as I said, because at this point I'm thoroughly freaked out, and I brought out the four-year-old little boy in me going, holy crap, I think I broke the fifth seal to hell. How do I shut it off? I just want it gone. And I said, and all I could think of was saying, you know, I love you, you know, I'll love you and see you later, grandma. And basically, like, you need to leave now. And as soon as I said that, like somebody snapped their fingers, it was all gone. The cold in the room, the weight, everything. Like, it never happened. And I'm sitting up in bed, out of breath, completely drenched in sweat, going, holy crap, holy shit. I mean, I just everything. Am I going through PTSD? Is it a flashback? Am I, you know, and trying to analyze myself and going, what just happened? And it was that moment in time that I began searching for answers at a deeper level. And of course, it led me to this lady that I was initially making fun of, right? The voodoo chick in my area. And because she was the only one that I knew. And so my wife was, with the support of my wife, she was very supportive. And she said, you need to go figure it out. And she said, so whatever that is. And I said, you know, I know where to go to get the car serviced or to get the oil changed. I know where to go if I need the assistance or aid of the military, but where do you go for the assistance of paranormal? Or at that point in my life, it wasn't like, you know, you look at Ghosts R Us, right? And so it was her. And so basically I was like, I want to figure out what this means for me. Like, why is it happening now? And quite honestly, she was telling me that I was a medium. And I said, I don't want to be a medium. I never asked to be a medium. I didn't do anything out of the ordinary. It was like I woke up one day and it's like, here you go. And I was like, no. You got the wrong dude. I'm close to retirement. You don't understand. but it wasn't a gift to, you know, that awakening. Was like, it was always there. It wasn't something that I was just given. And so that ability was always there. And so the thing was, is that, of course, with this lady's help, initially, she was like, yep, you're a medium. And like I said, I didn't, you know, I said, well, I don't want it. And she said, it doesn't work that way. But she said, you'll figure it out on a deeper level. And I said, well, where do I go? What do I? So I did end up taking a couple courses from her. And starting to learn some nuances, but she said, you really need to dive into mediumship. And she kind of guided me to a teacher in my area. And I ended up learning some of the, I'll just call them finer principles of mediumship, because at that early stage, it was like drinking from a fire hydrant at times, like, if I was to get information or do a reading, it was like so much information, I couldn't keep up with it. And then all of a sudden it was like somebody shut it off and I was like, hey, where did it go? And I needed to understand how to control it and to find the switch per se, or the valve, right? And control the flow. And so I did that. And really I took a year, after my training, in a sense of that's all I did. I gave readings for free. And I still joke today, it was Dean the Media or Dean the Soldier by day, because I was very much still, I was working for the Army National Guard here in the state of North Dakota in a full-time capacity in those last years. And so it was very much, you know, Monday through Friday, 2 weeks out of the year, 1 week in a month, the whole, you know, National Guard reservist type deal. But I was keeping things under like cloak and dagger type deal because I didn't know how some of my superiors would take that. But I was very much the soldier by day and very much the medium by night. People would start contacting me saying, hey, I hear you're doing readings, and saying, who is this? Like calling me on my cell phone. And saying, well, you don't know me, but I'm a friend of a friend of a friend. And because that's where it started, right? You give, you know, like you start with the wife and then her girlfriends and, you know, and it just word of mouth, it starts spreading. And so I never charged for the longest time. And my retirement plan was after the military was to work for the local VA. And of course, I certainly, and at least in my head at the time, I had it all mapped out and what I was going to do. And the universe had different plans for me, obviously. But as I got closer, it was very evident and it was very natural for me to step into the work that I now do full time. And this may actually mark the sixth year that I've been retired and been doing this in a full-time capacity. As soon as I retired from the military, I've been doing this full-time. Things have changed within the dynamic and how I provide services and what's going on with that. But The premise is, as I've been, you know, doing this work since then, I continue to do it today.
Wow. Okay. So you said you've always had these abilities, but it was just kind of blown open one day, and you know, you could actually experience it more openly.
Right.
Did you ever have any intuitive experiences, or I guess what you would call psychic phenomenon, before you knew that this was a thing for you that may have helped you in any situations?
Yeah, fun story. You know, before I was really aware of anything, right? When I was with the regular army, I did, just for everybody's background information, I did 14 and a half years with the regular army, and it was all ground combat, infantry, and about 6 years as a paratrooper. And one of those, during that interesting period, I'll call it, my life, of course, was, you know, I found myself overseas in Afghanistan, was very, very early Afghanistan, even before the ground war in Iraq. So you think back then. And so one of the things is, we would do mounted combat patrols with vehicles, up armored vehicles. And one of the standard operating procedures, if you were to stop a column of vehicles, is, obviously, it makes sense. You know, even a blind psychic or anybody would tell you, don't do it at a choke point, right? And because it's hazardous, people from higher elevations and all that great stuff. Or don't do it over like culverts or things like that, where you can hide bombs and IEDs and all that great stuff, right? Well, one of the technology back in those days, where they were doing the civilian contractors were doing early fielding of what they now have contracted with the military, and they were testing it out with the military. And it was actually the IED defeater. So basically, it puts electronic bubble around the column of vehicles. And basically, if the detonators for IEDs, it would, you know, basically block the either cell phone reception or whatever it was. And it was basically just a big can with a switch on. It looked pretty rude at those days. And we had that running. And the reason that I bring this into the mix is because we were just on that. We were doing a nighttime mounted patrol in this area that was known to be very active, I'll just say that, for a lot of different reasons. And whether it was smuggling or actually ambushes, whatever. And I was not in leading the patrol that evening, but the lead vehicle actually stopped. And we stopped at this area that was just a, what I told you, it's a no-no to do, you know, to stop where we stopped. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, they're checking the map, they're doing something. And it was like within the vehicle, I heard, move your vehicles forward. And it was like an inner voice, right? And I was like, you know, and then it got a little bit louder. And it was like, move, like urgent, like move the vehicles forward. And by this time, I'm like, I'm outside the vehicle, like trying to figure out, hey, are they outside smoking? Are they taking a bathroom break? What's going on? And I don't know what, I can't even remember, to tell you the honest truth, what was going on. But I had to sprint forward to the lead vehicle and saying, we need to move the lead vehicles forward another 500 meters to get the last vehicles past the danger area. And we were actually, the other patrol leader and I were standing there saying that, or discussing this, when we actually heard an audible click. We heard it off in the, it's not undergrowth, but it was off the edge of, kind of like a little ravine that was off the edge of the road. And we both looked at each other like the pucker factor, you can imagine, because we're like, holy crap, that sounded like a detonator going off. But we still believe to this day that we were saved because of the technology. And we never did, we didn't stick around to find out, hey, was there a, you know, a 300-pound bomb buried underneath? Because all we did was we reported it, we got the hell out of there. But it was something, I go back to more the voice. Like, where did the voice come from, right? And obviously now that I do this work, I know that not only, it could have been, at that point, could have been my guides, could have been spirit, could have been my higher knowing, a higher sense of self saying, hey, dummy, move your vehicles, you know. So, but the thing was, is if anybody's ever been in a military vehicle with radios and, you know, all kinds of equipment, it's noisy inside and it's hard to hear. And that was very clear, like, you need to move your vehicles another 500 meters. And it wasn't like, hey, would you please do this? It was like, you need to do this. It was very direct. And it was, so it was very interesting. There were some things that I still go back into the journals that I kept, during that deployment. And I look and I kind of chuckle because there was some times where we knew, where I knew, where I wrote, hey, where I knew that, you know, that we would be attacked prior to being attacked, or because it was just and I didn't know it at the time. But it was, the precognition, and I wrote bad vibes, quote unquote, right? And I was feeling, and I think that's so important because I'm such a champion now for people to trust their intuition and trusting whatever they call it, their vibes, the inner voice, the gut feeling, the seasoned soldier, the seasoned policeman, policewoman, whomever, whatever you do in your given field, you know, trust the intuition, the higher sense of you, spirit, divine, whatever you call it, trust the voice because it's there to help you.
Now, I have so many questions. How does this work for you? I mean,
sure.
You have quite a few different abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I guess let's start with the spirit communication. Can you see them? Is it just audible? Do they just talk to you? How does that work?
So, great question. So, if we break it down, so we talk about the spirit communication piece, right? And in the beginning, it's kind of evolved over the years. So in the beginning, it was almost like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy so everybody can get a good visualization, but it was almost like a film strip that would come in. If you think of a completely in my mind, okay? So we're inside my mind. If you think of a completely black screen, and then it's almost like a film strip of people's faces. Initially, this is how it would come in. And it was almost like it would stop at, you know, it was almost like a Rolodex of people. And then it would stop at whomever. It could have been the lady, it could have been man, child, whatever. And then it was like that face was brought forward and then it was like spun. So where I could go, oh, well, we had a female here and, and then I would, describe, just like you're seeing me now, Chris, on video, you could describe me so somebody at least will get an idea of what I look like, right? And to the best of your ability. And so basically that's the same way that I do to other people. So if you think of, I take a snapshot of the energy and spirits around people. And then I also set up early on in my development, it was, I was kind of confused because I was like, well, how do you know it's somebody from the mom side of the family, right? It's like, well, I had an aunt, Uncle Charles, but, I don't know. This one's stepping forward on the mom side. He was from the dad side. So it was recommended to me when I was really early in my development saying, you have to figure out what works with you, right? Number one. But the other thing is saying you have to have a system. And it was recommended to me to say, pick a side for the mom side of the family and pick a side of for them to step forward if they're from the dad side. For example, so when you're looking at me, Chris, so if you think of, so if I tap this side, this is my left, but it's going to be your right, correct? And if I tap on this side of my shoulder, which is my right, your left, So you could say, hey, any spirit to step forward on my left, your right is the mom's side of the family. And then anybody that steps forward on my right, your left, is the dad's side of the family. So as I look at you on video, Chris, any spirits that step forward, like on the screen here, you have a little eagle on to the left of the screen, but that's actually your right. So everything's reversed, obviously, right? So now I have kind of what I call a family delineation. So I know, hey, if you step over here, so it's kind of an agreement. Everybody from the, I treat it, think of a wedding, right? Everybody from the, not the bride and groom, but the mom's side, dad's side. So everybody over here, moms, everybody over here, dads. And then anything above is where I consider saying, okay, I'm going to consider you an angel, a spirit guide, or like a guardian angel, okay? And then to, as far as exactly who they are, we go off by vibration. So sometimes I'll get, hey, you know, obviously due to age, but sometimes we'll get a vibe, right? So it's like, ooh, they kind of feel like the drunk uncle or like the crazy aunt. But a lot of times when I give enough information, and I know that we did a reading for you earlier on, and through the validation, remember how I connected, is saying right away, you're like, oh, that is from whatever is saying, yep, that is, I recognize and validate that to be this person, okay? So, you know, talking about that. Now, there's a couple nuances for me. Anybody that steps behind and at an angle to the sitter or the client is either a distant cousin, so you think of second, third generation, whatever cousins, right? Kind of removed, or also could be also anybody that was maybe like a classmate, somebody that was a maybe a friend, but not really close or real close family, right? And then, so there's a couple of variations of that. But then anything that steps in front of them for me is either, is very clearly either a sibling, a child of theirs, or a spouse. So you think of you, right? Somebody else that completes you. So you think of a lot of times, very common if I'm doing readings for moms, not all the time, but obviously, and it's a sad subject, but miscarriages, right? And so sometimes we'll get, you know, a baby that steps in, or sometimes grandma likes to come forward holding the babies because it's a comforting thought saying, hey, grandma's taking care of the babies. It's just a simple message in that. Here's what I'm going to throw out a caveat with this too, Chris, is that I'm sharing with your listeners how I connect. It's very important to me to differentiate because I don't want somebody to go to a teacher, wherever that is, and say, well, Dean McMurray said that it has to be this way. No. A medium is a medium is a medium. We all do the same thing, but we all do it different, okay? The same with healers, the same with whomever does whatever type of modality, okay? The universe is going to work with you uniquely so you understand within your the concept within your mind, basically the way that you learn or retain information. Some people love songs, but you know, a lot of times with me, sometimes too, is analogies. They'll show me different things, kind of like a, I don't want to say a picture story, but sometimes it's not always literal. So if I see like, let's see, it would be a good one. You know, sometimes one reading, they showed me the client that I was given a reading to. This was actually my instructor at the time, and I still remember this because it was so odd. And it was, his grandmother was showing me him walking into an inky pit of money. And I said, that feels kind of dark. And I was like, I need to describe exactly what I'm seeing. And I said, I don't want it to sound dark and ominous, but I said, it's just, you know, understand it's around money and saying, yep, he's saying it's talking about him and his wife just had a discussion about not getting into financial issues, right? Because money can be a tricky subject, and it can be not a money pit in a sense, but there was meaning for him in that analogy. So sometimes, well, you get analogies, but for me, the way it works is I will get, you brought it up, the clairvoyance. Well, I see images. I will see clips of sometimes movies, different things. Sometimes I'll get visions of, we think of the future or different things like that that hasn't happened yet, or the past. And it's really for validation of the client, or as a lot of folks call it, the sitter, but it's client. So, and then of course the clairsentient, right, to the feeling, the knowing in a sense, is I really open up my whole body. A lot of mediums will say, well, if you're doing the psychic piece, you're not doing the medium piece. And I would disagree, because I choose, and I have chosen to develop this ever since I started. It was just something natural that I was like, well, if I'm also psychic, wouldn't it make sense to use my psychic abilities within my mediumship while doing medium work? Like, if I can smell the bread or the cookies that are so, that would help in aiding the validation of grandma, wouldn't you use that ability? And so I was like, so it's kind of a contradictory issue, and it's really about labels. So I blend, and I also teach this with my students, is to try to hone some of the abilities. And so, I've tasted and smelt different things, having an aunt that steps forward and was a chain smoking person, whatever, right? And the stinky Pall Malls or the Camels and all that great stuff. So the different abilities. So and then of course the empathic piece, as far as feeling people's state of being and everything, because that is more on the psychic aspect, but that helps me also discern when I'm doing work, as far as if I need to do healing or if I need discernment, especially if I'm doing cleansing houses or cleansing people, when we start talking about, and a lot of people would label it as possession cases, different things like that. So start coloring outside the lines, and we start blending the abilities of psychic, but I don't want to get too far off the subject. You're getting back on the mediumship. And then of course the claircognizant piece, the clear knowing. There's also clear gustance, which is clear tasting. There's so many different things, taste, feel, touch, knowing. I don't know. I'd like to say that it comes in waves. Sometimes it's like really what you need at the time, it opens up for you. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And you also communicate with angels. Is that right?
Right. Well, I wasn't raised Catholic. A lot of people immediately, when they think angels, they immediately think, oh, he must be Catholic, because it's a very natural thing. But I'm not. I was actually raised Protestant. I was married in a Southern Baptist church, and I went to a Lutheran church after that for a while. But I want to share is that when I started in my spiritual journey, I met a few people that were taught about angels and talked about it, and they talked about the archangels and, kind of the, I don't want to say the right-hand people of God or the universe, whatever, the worker bees, but in a sense, the different echelons of angels. And I kind of really connected to them in a deeper way. And I was like, boy, we're really getting into the religious framing of that. And I was like, but I come to find out that there is seven, archangels that are truly found throughout all of the world's religions. And I was like, that's really quite fascinating to me. And the more research that I did, the more I really connected to them. And so I was like, and as I got into other modalities, I started actually connecting to them as you think of my helpers, right? And so when we talked about dowsing and healing and other things, and then all of a sudden they started giving me information about the people that I was giving readings to. And I was like, well, this is kind of cool. I was like, so do you guys, you know, it wasn't an invite. They were just there. But then I was like, so we're going to do this with the readings now. And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? Kind of type deal. And it was like, and that's, and it was just in a evolution, we'll call it, of the readings, because it has grown and changed the way anybody that has ever received a reading from me way back in the early days when I very first started to today, they're different. My, you know, I actually used to start my readings with the invocation of bringing in the divine light and filling up the body and, you know, sending out an invitation to all the divine spirits and not making an intention of not communicating with anything that is dark. And but I found, you know, I started thinking about it and I was like, you know what? I was like, that's great. But at the same time, I'm burning up 5 to 10 minutes of this person's session just by doing this invocation. And if it reduces their stress, that's okay. But at the same time, I was like, couldn't I do that before? Couldn't I like pre-prep? Couldn't I have it, you know, like, hey, we're going to, this is like an automatic thing. It's like for every reading, you know, the universe should know, right? If it's a divine, all-knowing, you know, they know long before I even get the notification Sally Jones has ordered a reading with Dean McMurray. They should know that. Hey, Sally Jones, hey, you're going to have a reading with Dean. I don't know that, but they do. So my thought was is saying, hey, we're going to set this up as a rule. This is going to be, that's not going to change. So Dean McMurray is not going to be sitting down and having tea and having a chit chat with anything that's dark. And it's all, and I'm only going to communicate with that which is light. And when clients come to me or connect on the computer or on the phone, here's my intention. And that kind of born, like, I think we talked a little bit earlier too about ethics too, but that kind of brought that forward as well and saying, you know, what is that? What are, you know, what are the ethics that's going to guide me in this work? And so does that make sense to you?
It does. It does. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Now, the angel communication, it seems right. Like it would be an intense energy to feel. Could you tell us a little bit about how that communication works?
So I guess it's really hard to describe, I guess, but everything is energy, right? We've heard that over and over and over. But when you really tap in and you start learning, like, on what level is it vibrating? And I always say it's really hard to describe because angels are always more buzzier. That's my word. I'm kind of lost for words sometimes, but you know, they're just so high vibrating beings, and some have been reincarnated, some have not. You know, you got all different types of divine beings or angels, right? And, you know, and I've had some visual experiences, if you will, and some channeling experiences from angels. And I can tell you that this, if you have ever, ever, ever experienced pure, unadulterated love, something that would just bring you pure joy and happiness and maybe make you want to just cry for no reason, right? It's just like you are so happy, you're filled with joy, and it's just like, oh my God, right? And take that and just amplify it. And it's just so high, and because the thing I would say is it's so, and I it I would say that it's it's so, the energy is so soft and fluffy, I guess. It sounds funny when I say it out loud, but versus if you take that energy and compare it to something that's dark and it feels like you think of molasses or, you know, tar, something that's very sticky and heavy and pulling, and you think of anything that would be pulling on your skin or anything, you know, like in that sense. The contrast when you have felt a little bit of the dark energy versus the immense bright energy of, we think of angels and the universal God energy. I mean, there's no comparison. When you kind of know that what is angel energy or what feels like that, it is. You know, Chris, you mentioned it saying it's got to be intense. It is, but it's not like where it's now. It's not like where it's like, ooh, you know, I'm like totally wiped out. But in the beginning, because they don't come down to our frequency, we have to match theirs. But you know, maybe we can't reach their full frequency, but enough to communicate and understand, saying, okay. You know, that's what you're trying to share. Okay, I got that. I feel what you're trying to share or communicate, whatever the message is. So,
have you ever participated in any investigations, law enforcement or otherwise, like private investigations, anything like
sure.
that?
Absolutely. So I did volunteer for a while with a great group of folks, a nonprofit that's called Find Me. So Find Me is a nonprofit organization that has psychics and remote viewers and dowsers. I mean, all kinds of modalities all around the world. And they work on cases, homicide and missing person cases all around the world. And basically what they do is, you know, we'll get an email with the case and then, you know, last known location. And then they'll want to know if they're still living or deceased. And then if they're still living, you know, where did they go? If they're deceased, can you direct them to the body? They don't tell us like, hey, you were great or you got whatever. And I think the thing was that with that is because it doesn't inflate your ego, right? It doesn't, you know, it's just kind of like you just keep on shooting the way that you are and saying, you know, and you're trying to stay, you don't want to sway your answers because in this work you can. If you really, you know, saying, well, I don't want to be wrong, and all of a sudden then you're starting to filter what you're saying instead of just letting the raw information flow, if you try to start making sense of it, because a lot of it doesn't, instead of just saying, if you see a white truck, saying, why would I see a white truck? I don't know, but, you know, write it down because it may make sense later. Maybe it was part of the scene. Maybe it was, you know, maybe it's on a surveillance camera. Who knows? It's not for me to discern whether, you know, whether it makes sense or not. So anything and everything goes down. Any smells, hey, I smell gasoline. I see this. I see that. I feel this. So that all goes on a report. It gets sent up and they, you know, dispatch. They work with law enforcement and other folks. So that was always fun. And there's been other things as well, doing readings for completely random families where the deceased, we actually have one local, and it wasn't intentional, but the girlfriend of this gentleman that went missing was there with her son, which she had with this gentleman, and he was probably 13, 14, and he stepped forward to communicate with his son. And she wanted to know where he was. And actually, the river had just dropped in, you know, in river level or the water level. And he was found the next day after the gallery. And there was some really cool, still goosebumpy messages that were shared with him. and with his girlfriend and all that. And so it's kind of crazy. So whether it's directly, indirectly, you never know where you might be asked to assist with. So,
wow, fascinating. Have you ever, I guess, assisted in clearing any negative entities from houses or even attached to people?
Absolutely. You know, actually, it's kind of funny that you bring that up because, you know, not long after I took a course in mediumship, I took a course in dowsing. And for those that are not familiar, dowsing is the ability, obviously, a lot of people immediately go, oh, water witching, right? Find wells and stuff. But you can also use the same modality to do what they call ghost hunting or to find negative energy within homes. And that's kind of what I was trained to, is basically the ghost hunting and cleanse the energy in a land or a home. And so basically through the years as it continued, a lot of people would get a hold of me when things would escalate. So saying, you know, I get emails all the time saying, Dean, I'm being touched or I'm being scratched or whatever, you know, and saying, so then I would always ask for more, what, you know, what's going on. And in fact, I just got one the other day and not long ago, this was, I think it was before Christmas, and it was northeast of where I live here. And I was kind of reading into the energy of everything, and I was really, it's kind of hard. An email, you're back and forth, and so you're asking for all this information because you're almost doing, you know, I don't immediately connect to the energy of the home and what's going on because of my ethics, because I believe that that is personal space. And if they want me to come in or to start doing it, saying, you know, then I will connect. But otherwise, you know, sometimes I'll just kind of do a distant, call it a scan, see if it feels negative or if it feels what I call just general paranormal activities. Maybe grandma, grandpa saying, hey, wake the hell up, right? Kind of like I had. And so one of the things I was like, you know, I don't feel that this case is for me. I referred it to actually a friend of mine who lives very close to there that is a practicing shaman and also paranormal investigator, has been doing that for many years. And I was like, okay, kind of hand it off to him. But there has been people like I shared, you know, one, for example, I'll give you one example. I was in a lady's home, and I certainly don't go into homes, and one thing I just want to preface this by saying, I don't go into homes judging how people live. You know, we're all living in different situations, and I take what you know, their situations very very sacred because they're asking me to come into their space. So I don't care if you live in a $5 million mansion or a, you know, a $500 or a, you know, a $50,000 home, I treat them both the same. So long story short, I went in, it was kind of a hoarding situation. But I said, can I go to your basement? I said, can you show me the basement? I went down there and it was even worse. And I started, I had my L rods and I was doing my thing, and I smelt something was really off, and I smelt basically feces, and I was like, hey, you guys been having any sewer issues? I said, I smell raw sewage. Like I can smell it. Like, and she said, oh yeah, we had the sewer back up here about a day or two ago. And I was down there. I didn't come prepared. I didn't have rubber boots. I used to carry them in my car for that. And not for sewage, but for doing dowsings, and believe it or not. And so I was like, I'm done in the basement. And I didn't have anything on my, you know, on me, but it was just the, because you could be in physical harm, you know. And I was like, we're going to do it from the next floor up. We're going to intend all my work. I don't need to step into something that, you know, and I was So, you know, that was kind of an evolution of dowsing. And every once in a while, will I go out to a location physically to douse it? Yep, I still have. There's been times where I've crawled, even my brother's home, his old home. I was kind of in the crawl space, kind of hunched over, and I was down there with rubber boots on and, you know, down with the gravel and all that stuff. And it's interesting because sometimes the homeowner hasn't been down there ever since whenever, right? And so I get down in these areas, and I'm not afraid to go check them out. It's part of it is a little fun to explore. But at the same time, is you got to be very cognizant of what you're going into, because it could be potentially not only energetically, I get that piece, but also physically harmful, right? So it's like you think about the raw sewage piece and all that. But another piece was, and we helped that lady, by the way. The raw sewage issue. But the other one was, you talk about like possessions and individual. I had a gentleman, he was in his late 50s, prior service Marine Corps, you know, regular straight laced guy. And this was more, extraterrestrial. Now let me give a preface by this and saying all up until this point, I was everything paranormal. Like I was a believer in, you know, past lives and everything. But when it came to when it came to extraterrestrial, because I had a lot of those acquaintances, now you get into the metaphysical world, it kind of bumps up against the folks that also are huge into extraterrestrials. And I just couldn't quite go there as far as belief in that. And I was like, you know what, that's okay. I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going to be in judgment, but I just can't wrap my head around it. Until I had this case, and I went there for normal home dowsing in an apartment. And basically what it was is there was an attachment. It was more than one, and I got rid of most of them. But we were talking about reptilian entities basically doing a possession issue, and I was trying to use standard dowsing, like for spirits, on reptilian entities. And I was at a loss because I was like, everything I was doing wasn't working, and I kept on getting false positives because they were influencing my results. And I was at a loss. I was like, what? I don't know what's going on. Why can't I do what I do? And I had a mentor. I reached out to him finally. I said, God, I'm at a loss. And Wes, can you help me out? And he goes, Dean, he goes, next time, he said, you got another appointment with him? And I said, yeah. And he goes, next time you're there, he goes, look at his pupils. And he goes, and I said, well, what's up with the pupils? And he goes, I'm not going to tell you what's up with the pupils. You'll know it when you see it. And I was like, okay. And so the next time he came to my office at that time, I said, okay, we're going to do a little meditation. I don't know what we were doing. And but I do remember saying that, hey, we're gonna do. I was looking at his pupils, and I, but I was also really guided to buy these tuning forks prior. And I don't know why. It was like, I have to buy these tuning forks, and they're also tuned to a certain frequency of DNA, like human DNA. And I didn't put the two and two together till afterwards. And so when I was looking at his temples, it was almost like somebody was telling me, hey, you know, like, hit the tuning forks and put it on either side of his head, you know, a ways away, but create a vibrational distortion, if you will. And it was so crazy, Chris, because when I did that, it was almost like if you think of, you know, a flash to Matrix, the movie, it was like you see of this, you know, distorting the energy around him. And then it was like I saw you think of the reptilian pupil, and it was only for a second, but I saw it, And then it went away, and I was like, holy shit. I was beside myself. I was like, holy crap. I was like, I just saw that. And I was like, aha, I see you. And I was like, but now what? It's like, you know, finding an alligator in your swimming pool. Ha ha. And it's like, but now what? Like, you got it, but like, now what? And so long story short, through a series of trial and error, because I was really in a big learning curve. That was a huge one because it was all new energy. It was a complete big shift. And really, that's when I started learning about Arcturians and different, you know, emissaries of light and different things. And I was like, oh, cool, like the archangels of the galactic realm and, you know, and kind of put it in my perspective. And it was really kind of eye-opening. It was a little scary, to be really honest, because a lot of the people that taught me were giving me guidance on how to deal with it. And I said, no, you don't understand. That old way that you're telling me isn't working because I've already used it. It's like giving me a can of Raid and what I need is like a tank, right? And it was like, no, you don't understand. And they were like, no, you just, and I was like, no, you don't. It's like, I can't take down the mothership with the can of Raid. I need the tank, right? And it's like, so nobody was really, but then finally it was it was interesting. It was serendipitous, actually, it was actually somebody outside of my realm of connections. And it was, the people that I know kind of pointed me in the right direction. It was somebody saying, you know, I have one odd client, not an odd client, but an odd situation with the client, and I directed them to this guy. And so I reached out to him and, you know, was the right connection anyways. And long story short, was able to get the gentleman the help that he needed, and he went on to, get cleared in a sense. So it was interesting. It was so fascinating to me. And so it was interesting that, you know, after that, it really helped facilitate some other things with some other modalities that have come down the road as far as bringing Arcturian energy in, saying, okay, if there's interference from not only spiritual, you think of dark energy, right, from the spiritual side, saying from the earth realm or the spiritual realm, saying, well, what about the galactic realm? That's almost like now we're talking about a different plane of existence. What the heck? And I was like, my mind was like melting. I was like, what's going on? And so then we, you know, had to do some journeying and some connection to what I call the Board of Trustees. And basically it is I go into meditation, and basically it's a super long table with all the archangels, and it's got the Arcturians and then all these different divine light beings there, that they're just there providing valuable information as far as how to go about doing certain things in a better way. I hate saying that. Sometimes my words fail me, but kind of giving guidance. So you think of the Board of Trustees, right? It's like when all else fails, let's give the Board of Trustees a ring and saying, let's get everybody together. Let's do a sit down. And then I just kind of present the issues that are coming up, saying, hey, we're having this issue. What are something? And saying, you know, I understood that, you know, hey, I always thought that if you brought in all the archangels and brought in the energy of God and Jesus and all those, you know, Saint Germain and all those, but it's like, yeah, that works for this, but not for this. Sorry. And it's like, wow, my mind was blown. So, you know, and it was so different. And so with that, also came some understanding of different planetary agendas, the warring, you think races, different folks. And so, and saying, hey, Dean, oh, by the way, do you understand that you can access different energy from different planets to assist in your everyday living? So saying, hey, and then, you know, and also you can clear if they're, you know, if there's the emotional tethering or implants or different things going on for folks, galactic implants and all that good stuff, saying, hey, what's going on? Or time distortions or different things. And then some really cool stories too. We could talk all night, but stories of where people just show up and send what I call star seeds, right? And people that are on this earth that just know that they are not from this planet and saying they're really close to committing suicide. And I actually had an experience like this. A young lady at an expo showed up and I said, you're not from here, are you? And it was a little town in Minnesota. And she said, no, I'm not. And I said, I'm not talking Minnesota. I said, I'm not talking Earth. And she goes, no, I know. And we're just like, hey, I see you, right? And so I said, how close are you to committing suicide? I was just blunt. I wasn't, you know, like no reservation. And she said, I was thinking about taking my own life here soon. And she's just starting to cry. And it was just really super emotional and really hard for her. And she said, and I said, why? And she said, because at night I journey, or she leaves her body. And she said, when she comes back into it, it was so physically painful. It hurt to come back into her earth body, right? And because the journey, the transition, she wanted to be free. And I said, you see that rock guy over there? I didn't even know the, you know, expos, you always got the rock guys, right? And I think they had two or three. And I said, you see that guy? I didn't know him. I said, you see that guy over there? He has something for you. I said, it's a portal. And I was like, I could have been talking on my butt for all I know. But she went over there and she came back. She was so excited. And she goes, I found it. And I was like, what? It was like I don't even remember like seeing her. It was so weird, right? And I said, what did you find? Like, I was trying to remember the conversation. And she said, I finally found, this is mine. She goes, I was getting ready to leave and you told me to see this guy. And he stopped me before I said anything and said, I have something for you. And he pulled out this rock with a hole in it. And she said, I knew that it was mine. Like, he's been holding on to it for years. And she said, I don't know this guy. And you don't know me. And you don't know that guy. And it was so bizarre. And I was like, well, there you go. I was like, I don't know. I said, I just listened to the voices in my head. I was quite literally.
Oh my. We're going to have you back on because this just took a whole different turn that I wasn't expecting, because I was going to go down the extraterrestrial path with you just to see, you know, if by chance, you know, because myself, I'm on this journey right now where I'm trying to connect the spiritual realm, the ET realm, because I believe it's all connected somehow.
It is.
But yeah, that's awesome that you went there. Mm-hmm. But we're running out of time. We got to take some. Okay. We got to take some
let's
calls.
Do it.
We're gonna
let's
do we're it. Gonna do some readings if you got time. And man, yeah, I'm gonna have to have you back on soon.
Absolutely.
All right. So let me get our first caller on here. Hello, welcome to Forbidden Knowledge News. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, what's your name?
Kimmy.
Hi, Kimmy. How are you tonight?
I'm good. You?
I'm good. What's your question for Dean?
I've been going through a lot lately, divorce and everything, and I'm just wondering how much longer it's going to be before I get on my feet, or if anybody special is coming to my life.
Okay. Well, first off, thanks for calling in, Kimmy. So one of your first questions is how much longer before you get on your feet? So one of the first things is that I kept on seeing the number 4. So I'm understanding that I'm feeling like before it's pretty firm is I'm going to say that it's around the 4-month mark. Okay. So where it feels like where you're kind of solid again. Okay.
Okay.
So obviously right now, obviously you're kind of in a, would be understandable in a tough situation right now, but kind of feel like somebody, you know, punch you in the gut, so to speak. But, and yeah. then when you talk about like somebody special, right? Is it like long-term? I would say in a year. But if, you know, obviously if, yeah, I'm just going to stay with that because I was going to say okay. that the energy is there for love. But as far as if you want something to stick, I would say within about the year mark. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Kimmy.
Thank you so Thank much, you. Kimmy.
Okay.
Hello. Hello. Welcome to Forbidden Knowledge News.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
My name is Lily. I'm Sarah. Lily.
Hi, Lily. What's your question for Dean tonight?
Very much for taking my question. I really appreciate that. I started doing some acting, and I was just wondering what you see my future in that. Do you think I'll be successful?
Well, thanks for calling tonight, Lily. So, started in acting. So when you say started in acting, like just early stages acting, or where are you at with it?
Yes, early stages. I actually had a call back a few days ago, and I went, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I might get a role.
Well, you know, as far as acting goes, it feels really good for you, the energy match. But the other thing that I would say is obviously within the performing arts, right? So not just the you think of television or movies or whatever, but also have you looked at theatrical or anything with I don't want to say Broadway, but any plays or anything like that as well?
I haven't yet. I mean, I would be open to it, but what I have auditioned for was, like, I guess it would be a pilot, and I've been an extra before.
Sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, and I do have a YouTube channel as well, so I kind of fell into the acting by accident. You know, my whole thing is I have a YouTube channel, and I'm hoping that would be successful as well. Mm-hmm. I do film readings and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm hoping that at least one of those endeavors will be successful.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting to me because it feels like what you really need to do is focus on diversifying yourself. But the other thing is that I'm hearing Spirit tell me that don't rush into, I don't know if there's been some pressure or feeling like you need, but talking about like an agent right off the bat, that will come later. So talking about representation, obviously do your due diligence and all that great stuff. But just being given a caution flag. But when it's talking about acting, do I feel that and do I get that you'll be successful at it? Absolutely. I do feel that. I would say around the 3-year mark. So where really, now I'm not saying that you don't get any gigs between now and then, but what I'm saying is like where it's like really big roles or bigger substantial things, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Oh, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I mean, I'm happy with any role. Like, I mean, but yeah, big is great or small is little. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You took the time to
Thank
answer
you,
my
Lily.
Question.
Have a good night.
Yeah, good night.
You too. Bye. Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
There we are.
Welcome.
Some technical difficulties. I'm not very technical with these sort of things, so.
That's quite all right. Welcome. What's your name?
Your video, but Trina.
Welcome, Trina. What's your question for Dean?
Okay. So I'm lost at the moment. I'm quite interested. At the moment, I believe I'm on the right.
Trini, you're breaking up pretty bad. We can't really understand what you're saying.
Okay. Hang on, I'll move. My friend. is that any better for you?
Yes, that's better.
Is that any better? Okay, so I'm on a path of loss at the moment. I feel like I'm heading in the right direction. I've had a lot of changes recently. Just wondering if there's any advice for me from up there.
Sure.
On where I'm heading.
Sure. Well, first off, thanks, Trina, for calling in tonight. So you were talking about a lot of changes on your path. I just want to recognize and validate a couple that do step forward for you real quick, bringing forward for your message is, first off, you do have a female that does step forward on the mom side of the family, I understand. And one of the things so interesting with her is that she has these real super long, skinny cigarettes, which is very unique, and I would almost say they almost kind of like the movie star, or maybe they had a plastic filter on it, but they made them look. I'm holding a pen on the video, but probably a lot of people can't see that. But so just make it super crazy looking. But the thing is like she almost kind of has that that actress flair almost with her. But the thing is that with her. Is that she talking about? Absolutely. She's saying that, first off, is you are exactly where you need to be, firstly. Secondly, is you need to know that the changes that you're making now, as difficult as they are adding up. It's basically like you're planting the seeds for a greater tomorrow, right? Saying, geez, I feel like I keep on planting seeds, but I'm not seeing a damn thing grow. And so the thing that she's sharing is have faith with that, because it feels like, you know, just given time and a lot of patience, and that's a big key, is the patience piece. And she's saying, just keep on being, as in her words, just keep on being fabulous. And she kind of says it with a flair that I cannot even reproduce. But just know that you're immensely loved and supported from the other side.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trina.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks, Chris. Catch up. Bye.
Hello. Welcome to Forbidden Knowledge News. What's your name?
Hi, Chris. My name is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. Welcome. What's your question for Dean?
Where do I go next?
All right.
I've been on travel for quite a while.
What? Oh, thanks for calling, Nicole. So your question is, where do I go next?
Yes. I've been traveling.
You have been traveling. So you're a frequent traveler. Okay. So you're wondering
this is a new thing, the traveling. I feel like I'm on a journey.
Okay.
And I've been gone for about 5 weeks and not quite sure where to go next.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because while I was waiting for Chris to connect to his next caller, the thing that I kept on hearing, and not that Chris has any call waiting music, but it's I kept on hearing Elvis music, which was very unique. And not that I feel that you need to go to Graceland by any means, but it was interesting. It was like just kind of really enjoying things. And so have you already been to Greece?
Yes, I've been to Athens.
Okay, you have. All right. Well, one of the first things, the reason that I ask about Greece is that was the first thing that I saw. And I don't know if it has a special love or pull to you, but the thing that I would share is that and this is a really great reminder for anybody, regardless of whether you're thinking about moving somewhere or going on a trip. And here's what I would, and this is called map dowsing. So you guys take out your pen, paper. This is Dean's little note for map dowsing. So those of you that has a pendulum, you can use it. An L rod, you can use that as well. Or you can actually, kind of intuitively scan with your hand as well. And so if you have a map. So an international map, obviously, if you're an international traveler, the area for your area that you want to travel, whether it's just the United States or the world. And so what I would share is that go over each continent and just ask, is this the area, you know, is this the country, continent, whatever that I'm to travel to? And then you can break it down from there. So then, you know, whether it's Africa or Athens or it doesn't matter, Timbuktu, it doesn't really matter, because some areas might not be in your highest good to go there at that moment in time for whatever reason. It doesn't always have to be something bad. It just means that, you know, the energy is a match elsewhere. So, but the thing I did see, I know, Nicole, is I know you said you already been to Athens. I did see Greece, though, so kind of give that some credence, kind of sit with it, see how it feels. But also, does Elvis music make any sense to you? I know that there's a big – I did clearly hear that prior. Are you a big Elvis fan, or was there Elvis or was there somebody on your mom's side or dad's side that was an Elvis fan?
Not that I can think of, but it could be symbolism, so I'll think about it.
Okay, sure, absolutely. So, you know, sit with that. But as far as, you know, where to travel to next, my first guidance for you would have been would be Greece, but to relook at that. And obviously, it's a big country, maybe expand out from Athens, but sit with that and see how that feels. And obviously, always go with your intuition first and foremost over, you know, what anybody says. Because if it doesn't feel right to you, say, nah, I've already been there, it doesn't feel right, then go somewhere else. But I would say go with where your intuition leads you.
From you telling me Greece, it actually leads me to South Carolina, surprisingly, but it makes sense.
Okay. See, and you never know. See, Chris, we were talking about that. See, why make, and you know, what's interesting too is, you know, in, you know, like down south, they have some interesting names for, like, for example, down by Atlanta, or not by Atlanta, but I think it's in Kentucky. They have a Lebanon, Kentucky, I think. There's different names for, you know, so that could, you know, and that's interesting that you bring that up. So if your intuition is saying, hey, you say Greece, but that keys me to that area of the United States, then as long as it makes sense, that's all that matters, Nicole.
It does. It makes perfect sense. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Nicole.
That is so crazy. Yeah. Have a good night. Don't you love it when it works out like that?
Yeah, man. Synchronicities.
Right? Synchronicities. You got to love it.
Hello. Welcome to Forbidden Knowledge News. What's your name?
Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy. Welcome. What's your question for Dean?
I just want to know what my future holds.
Okay, what's your future hold? Well, that's a loaded question, Jeremy, but let me preface that first and foremost by saying that because we've been talking about future stuff and understand that the future is always in motion, right? So regardless of what's going on, it's always changing. Now, one of the things I want to share is, you know, I was just – right before you came on, I just got a flash in my mind real quick, and I saw a big bouquet of roses. And so it was one of the funny things. It was almost like, in a sense of, like, I call it the, excuse me, but it's the, in Dean's words, it's the oh shit bouquet of roses of saying, hey, I'm sorry, or whatever. So it's interesting in a sense that that's what I feel with it. So I don't know if first and foremost, maybe you need to run out and get a bouquet or you did, but it's interesting that I saw that. And I just want to make that known, but I do have a male that steps forward on the dad's side of the family. I actually got several. I understand that he was a veteran and that he passed from cancer and, he had a couple pack a day habit, feels like, as he tells me. And the other thing with him is he was very much into, give me a second here. It is a, well, it almost feels kind of like it's, I was like, oh, is that whiskey? And he's like, well, that's bourbon. And I was like, well, I don't know. Oh, I was like, so, but the, so here's the thing, Jeremy, is that, and I could smell it on his breath too. Do you ever smell somebody that has alcohol and cigarette breath? Nothing against the guy. He was quite it. In North Dakota, we call him, oh, he's a hoot, but he's quite the character anyways. And he's like trying to chat me up. But the thing is with him, first and foremost, is he's telling me that he is extremely proud of you. And he's not saying that in my nicey-nice ways. He's saying, I'm proud of that son of a bitch. And that's the way he exactly says it, verbatim. And but the thing is, as he talks about, he starts laughing about your question about what does your future hold? And he starts joking. He goes, it's not going to hold much if you don't go down and fill up your gas tank on your truck. So I don't know if you're one of the type that always runs it like, hey, I'll just put another $5 in or whatever. But I don't know. He makes mention of the fuel in your truck, which is so weird. But the thing is, he does talk about changes in job or career. And this comes up to be really a really specific thing. And he's saying he's got a few things going on. Number one, feels like you've been wanting a big change within employment. And he's saying that we've been working really hard on that. But it feels like wherever you're living, your geographical area feels like the opportunities are kind of what I would say limited, right? And so you think of the higher you want to go, of course, it's, I don't want to call it the pyramid thing, but a lot of times in companies, the higher you go, the less opportunities there are. It's just kind of the way it is. And it doesn't feel like there's a lot of other opportunities presenting themselves currently. The other thing that's connected with that is like a big, what I would call like the full-size Ford King Ranch version, like all decked out, bells and whistles. I don't know if that's been on your Christmas list since, you know, forever, but the thing is I feel that connected to that. So maybe that piece of, hey, I really would love a brand new big truck, or maybe you just bought one, but it feels more like a want. So the thing is I feel that there's a lot of change when it comes not only to employment, but it's just been, I feel a lot of stress. And I do want to recognize and validate, it's been also challenging because I'm just going to say it. There's also been, I'm feeling some, not directed to you, but it feels like somebody within your acquaintance or kind of distance to you dealing with suicide. Does that make sense to you? So whether it's like a year or two back, it's almost like a little past. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing is you got to also get through that. And just in, I'm going to give you down and dirty Dean's language, okay? You got to let go of that past shit to move forward, Jeremy, okay? Because if you can't move on and find some way, I'm not going to say heal, because here's the thing with grief, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. Because us guys, we don't like talking about the crap, and quite honestly, because we don't like showing our emotion. And it's just the way it is, right? And but that's okay. But at the same time, you got to find a healthy way to deal with it, and so you can move on to get to keep your eye on the prize to get where you want to go. And you got to let go of the old crap to get the new stuff. And you know, it's kind of like almost the anchor is weighing you down, and it can be challenging. But sometimes you got to. There's a saying out there saying, you know, the treasure you seek is in the cave that you, through the cave that you fear. And talking about, you know, you got to deal with all the crap that's that weighing you down and all that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
Thank you, Chris, man. You're a cool cat. Thanks, guys.
Yep, you bet.
Have a good night.
Yep. You too.
Hello, welcome to Forbidden Knowledge News. What's your name?
Amanda, thanks so much for having me on.
Hello, Amanda. What's your question for Dean?
My question for Dean is, I'm very curious about my son, Michael. He was 17 the last time that I spoke with him. Is there anything that you could possibly tell me?
Okay, so, well, thanks. First off, thank you, Amanda, for calling tonight. So last time, and how many years has it been since you've, or how long has it been since you've talked to him?
5.5 years.
5.5 years.
Yes.
Okay. And there's been no contact with your son since then?
No.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because, and before we jump into that, it's interesting because I initially got, I saw this was board games, right? And I was like, what's going on with the board games? But it was more predominantly checkers. But then there was a female that was on the mom's side of the family that stepped forward, and she was almost like, I almost wanted to call her the gateway caretaker, like really watching out for people and saying, so it was almost like letting you know that she was watching over him when you couldn't. So it doesn't feel like he's crossed over. And so it's kind of tricky a little bit because obviously it's been 5.5 years and your son is an adult. So I, just because of my ethics, I certainly can't, But I know that you're not, I know the question you're asking, you're not asking it directly, is he still, you're probably asking, hey, is he alive? I want to know if my son's alive. And it feels like his energy is very much alive. But as far as how he's doing, I certainly will not, because it would be a violation of his energy as far as what he's doing or tapping into him directly. But as far as answering the mom question, saying what the heck's going on, but it almost feels, obviously is kind of that, what I would call the very guarded energy. A lot of times when people put up walls or, you know, emotional barriers saying, hey, it's my choice to disconnect or remove myself or, you know, a little bit heavier though, to be really honest. So I don't know if, does that make sense?
It is really heavy. The part about the female and the checkers, my mom, she passed away last November and we played checkers almost every day.
There you go.
I couldn't even tell you, but my son did die in 2014 from a horrific car accident. Mm. And I thought that because he was a sensitive, mm-hmm. and because I thought I would have mm-hmm. heard from him by now, mm-hmm. I thought that I would have some kind of, way to say to myself, you know, this is where he is. He's okay. You mm-hmm. know, he's this, and this, and maybe I can put some mm-hmm. a little bit of closure to it. He does have a twin sister who is
okay.
alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this is, number one, I'm sorry for your loss. But number two is I'm a big enough boy to say that sometimes I get things wrong. And then the other piece is, regardless if a medium connects to your son or not, that doesn't mean that he does not love you. And a lot of people think, oh my God, they're not in a good place or they haven't crossed over. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And a lot, because we're always seeking connection, right? Every one of us. Absolutely. At a certain level. And obviously, you know that, you know, and I know that you'll know this forever, is that a mother's love never dies, ever. And, but the thing is that, it's, it's always a challenging piece, but yeah, sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, it you know, even though, you know, I was really interested on the part of my son, mm-hmm. It's really interesting because my mom had such a bold personality.
Right.
And she always was the one to watch over every single one of us.
Well, that makes sense. Sure.
Yeah, and so she was just so, had such a big presence that it doesn't shock me one bit that, you know, it just doesn't shock me.
Right.
So
right.
For that, I'm very thankful to know that her sense of humor is still there. And
right.
She's still throwing it up in my face, you know. I always beat you at checkers, so you'll never win it, kid.
And while it was the first thing that came through, and it was like I saw a checkerboard, and I was like, and not only that, but board games, and I was like, there's a big female energy right now. But it was in, and then about the caretaker piece, but it was so
was
interesting. But yeah, so beautiful. Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
All right. You have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. One last question. I have one through my email here. I don't know if you would be able to answer that.
No, absolutely. We can do it through the email.
Okay. So Catherine asks, let's see, her favorite aluminum triangle earring with the face on it has been lost since December 2018. She's asking, is it in her condo or her car? Or if not, could you point her in direction where it may be?
Sure. So asking, so her favorite, this is an interesting question. So her, let me see if I get understand it correctly. Her favorite
aluminum triangle earring.
Okay. So her favorite earrings are just one earring or earrings?
It just says earring singular.
Oh, so okay, sure. So earring is basically missing and since December 2018. So, and she's wondering if it's in the condo, her car, or somewhere else.
Right.
So the first thing that I saw was you think of, and I was like, oh, here we go. Cause you know, it's, you never know with lost stuff. Like if somebody picks it up or sometimes, here's the thing though. I did see, what I would understand is like in between the car and the molding, right? So a lot of stuff drops down in there. That's where it feels like that. Cause that's the first thing I saw was like, you think of some sand or whatever on the floor. And it was like a zoomed in, picture of earrings, or earring, sorry, on the floor of the car. So I would tell her my first stop would be the car. So if it's not in that car, I would say that it's in somebody else's car. It does not feel like it's in the condo. So,
right. Well, very good, Catherine. Check your car. And Dean, that was fascinating stuff. Thank you so much. And like I said, I'm definitely going to have you back on again in the future. There's so much more we could talk about. Before you head out, let everybody know, website, social media, anywhere they can find you.
Absolutely. If you want to go to my website, you can go to the militarymedium.com and you can, you know, schedule readings, all that great stuff right there. You can also check me out on Facebook. You can go over to the Military Medium. You can also check out my radio show, which is every Monday. I post the replay of the show, the Red, White, and You radio show. That's on Facebook. And there's also a link on my website as well. And there's one more page that I have. It's called the Intuitive Real Estate Consultant page. And it talks about working with realtors and home buyers, home sellers, and the dowsing aspect of all that. So if you want to check that out, in the Intuitive Real Estate Consultant, You can check those out on Facebook.
Awesome. Very good. Thanks again for coming by, and we'll talk to you again soon. You have a great night.
All right. Thanks, Chris.